Let us now turn to the Word of God and the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 6. And we shall read from verse 10. Ephesians, chapter 6, from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and so on. And with the Lord's help, we desire to consider the first part of verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. We are to put on the whole armor of God, that we might withstand in the evil day, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having already considered some of the various tactics and stratagems of the devil, we now want to go on to consider the pieces of armor that make up the whole armor of God. And the first piece is the girdle or belt, that is the girdle of truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And this girdle of truth is distinguished from the sword of the Spirit, verse 17. Both involve truth. The sword of the Spirit is, we might say, the Word of God objectively considered, the fact, the object that we're to look at and receive and make use of. The girdle of truth, which we hope to consider tonight, is the truth subjectively received. It is the truth embraced. It is the knowledge and belief of the truth that we are to consider here, having your loins girt about with truth. There must be a clear knowledge of and firm belief of the truth. There must be a heart attachment to the truth. We need to know the truth clearly. We need to believe the truth firmly. We need to hold fast the truth, the teachings, the doctrines of God's Word. We need to embrace the whole system of truth. Why? That we might stand. Stand, therefore, and in what way? Having your loins girt about with truth. Think of it this way, that we're to stand. And what are we to stand upon? Firm ground. What is the firm ground? It's the truth. Gernal has pointed out that whatever moves needs something firm to be based upon. In other words, if we are walking over the field, that is all well, but if there's an earthquake, you stand still. You can't walk when there's something moving beneath you. And so if we're to move swiftly in the battle that we're to fight against Satan, we need firm ground to stand on, and that is the truth. That's the foundation. Another way to look at it is it's impossible to write a straight line with a shaking hand. If you're going to write a straight line, you have to have a firm, strong hand. And so if we are not established firmly in the truth, we will not lead straight lives. It is impossible to have a consistent life without being firmly based in and upon the truth. But to be guided by the metaphor here, we have the girdle of truth. And that is the first point to consider, the symbol involved in the girdle of truth. A girdle is a belt, and a belt that is fastened around the waist, being girt about with truth. And again, when we come across the loins being girded, that was a symbol of a readiness for service or some kind of endeavor. Just as the Israelites, when they were being set free from bondage in Egypt, at the time they were going to eat the first Passover, God instructs them, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded." With your loins girded, that is, you're ready. You're prepared to go forward. And to confirm that, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So the girdle is a symbol of preparation, readiness, and strength. The girdle, the belt, gives strength. And it has been pointed out in Psalm 69, verse 23, where there's the psalmist is praying against the determined enemies of God. He says, "Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake." So the shaking of the loins is a sign of weakness. But here, when the loins are girded, then there is strength. The loins being girt about with truth is a symbol of being strengthened by the truth. Consider that the girdle would also, no doubt, be the means of fastening more tightly the rest of the armor. For example, the sword. The sword would no doubt be buckled attached to the girdle. And so when we embrace the truth, that's the starting point. That's the first piece that is brought to our attention, having your loins girt about with truth. Then that makes way for the rest of the armor to be embraced by us. That's the starting point, the truth. The truth enables us to be further equipped with the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. In 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 13, David was ready, perhaps too much in haste, to take revenge on Abigail's husband, and he says to his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And so the girdle is providing for the fastening closely and tightly the rest of the armor. And there is great danger in neglecting the girdle of truth. When we consider the truth, we're considering the way of salvation. And there may be some who care very little about the truth. Even those who may call themselves Christians, and they will tell you that there are many ways to God, and they're not going to denounce Islam or any other system of philosophy or whatever, but it all leads to the same place as what you hear today. But that is heretical. That's erroneous. That is false. And the Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 about false prophets being among the people. And he says, "Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And it's the same word, if I recall correctly, damnable heresies and swift destruction. In other words, these are destructive doctrines. which, embraced, will bring upon oneself destruction. Here is teaching that if it is embraced, it will lead to hell. So you see how important it is that we embrace the truth. We be girt about with truth. Because the opposite of truth will lead to eternal destruction. And even when it comes to other truths that are not what we might say fundamental, and yet they are very important because they help instruct the believer how to live his or her life. There are truths that provide comfort, and if we are not understanding these truths, if we're not embracing them firmly as well as clearly, then we will be weak. We will lose comfort that we might otherwise have had. And so, as Hodge puts it, to enter this spiritual conflict, ignorant or doubting, would be to enter the battle blind and lame. So we have to have the truth. We might know what the battle is about, that we would go forward with strength. What an advantage Satan would have over us if we did not embrace the truth with clarity and with firmness. How he would be readily able to tempt us, so easily tempt us to lose heart. He would say things to us like, "What do you think you are doing? How do you think that you, a puny soldier, can be successful in this battle?" And how would we readily answer him if we weren't firmly adhering to the truth, firmly based in the truth? He would tell us, "You'll never make it to the end. You will certainly lose." But when we know the truth, and we know that, for example, once God's people are saved, they are always saved, that their salvation is secure, that they have a hope that will never make them ashamed, and that the spark of grace is grace, and it comes not from themselves, but from God, who will only increase that grace, that is truth. And it's distinguished from the sword of the Spirit in that it is truth that is part of a whole that has been summed up in various parts of the Word of God, and we call this particular truth the final perseverance of the saints, and that is confirmed by many passages. But this is a truth in general, so to speak, that is embraced. It is being girt about with truth as a system and knowing about the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints and the eternal security of believers is a great strength to persevere. Of course, we should always make use of the sword of the Spirit and bring in specific texts and promises to use in order to combat the evil one. When we think about the summaries of truth that we have been learning as young people or even children, for example, the Shorter Catechism, and the Confession of Faith, were given a great base, as it were, to rest upon, and when it is believed. And when it's held fast, this is being girt about with truth. And surely it ought to be an encouragement to both Sabbath school teachers and the children in the Sabbath school that they are being equipped. They're being armed for future conflict by having the truth buckled around them, as it were. They're being girt about with truth as they learn more and more, and they have the doctrines of the Word of God assimilated within them, and that is so important. In fact, it is essential that we start there, knowing the truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. In the third place, we might consider for a moment the false girdles, because such things as reason, while it helps in some ways, our reason, rational thought processes, logic, that will not save us. It is not sufficient. Reason will not bring us the knowledge of God which is necessary to salvation. We cannot put two and two together and discover salvation that way. No, it is divine revelation that we need, and that is from the Word of God in the Scriptures. And then speculations or hypotheses and various theories someone might come up with. This will not prevail. This will not win the battle against Satan. Einstein apparently had what was called thought experiments, and some people call it daydreaming and just imagining different kinds of theories, and just maybe one of them will work. But speculation and daydreaming and imagining what might help us, that is not going to save us. It will certainly not save us. It will not win the battle against Satan. Again, truth was not meant to be devised. Truth is truth. It cannot be imagined. It must be received. It has been revealed to us, and it must be embraced and absorbed. And then there is dead orthodoxy. We might have the truth in its system, its organization, systematic theology. We might subscribe to the confession of faith in our minds and intellectually, but if it's only half-heartedly embraced, or if it's just a cold assent and we just say, yes, it's true, and that's it, and there's no real love for it, well, when Satan comes with his temptations, if there's no heart attachment for the truth, then we will slip and we will slide and fall into sin. There must be a real love for the truth. These other things, reason, speculation, dead orthodoxy, is, as Hodge puts it, a girdle of spider webs. Imagine wrapping spider webs around you. It's not going to hold you fast. You're going to slip and fall. And we're to stand in the evil day. When Satan comes with a great assault and surrounds us with his fiery darts, we need more than just theories. We need more than just reason. Reason is not going to stand against the devil. We need more than cold orthodoxy, a cold assent to the confession or the shorter catechism and say, yes, I've grown up reciting the catechism, I know all about it. That's not going to stand the test. You need to embrace the truth. You need to love the truth. Believe it most firmly and hold fast with great resolve. So, we need to be prepared for the battle. And therefore, we need this girdle of truth. Gird about, having your loins girt about with truth. And in the fourth place, just briefly, think about the basis of the girdle of truth, and of course, that is divine revelation. Again, the confession of faith, the shorter catechism, is based upon the Scriptures. The Scriptures reveal to us, they are themselves God's own word, written by the apostles and prophets, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that what they wrote was exactly the Word of God. And that is where we receive truth. We go to the Word of God, and we absorb the principles of truth found in God's Word. Well, that is the foundation. And that is the basis of the girdle of truth, to put it that way. But in the fifth place, the, we might call, the bounds or portals of the girdle of truth, the points at which truth is embraced. And what I'm thinking is, first, the understanding. We have to know it with our minds. We have to understand it, first of all. We need discernment. For example, to know whether what we hear from the pulpit or from anyone else is indeed the truth. Test the spirits, or try the spirits. The apostle says there in 1 John chapter 4, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What we hear, does it line up with the truth? Is it based upon the Word of God? So we should be praying that the Holy Spirit would enlighten us, cause us to understand the truth, that again we would be like the Bereans and see whether the things that we hear are so, are they found in the Scriptures. They search the Scriptures daily. And we should always be going to the Scriptures, praying that God would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of God's law. And the second portal, as it were, by which truth is embraced, is the will. We need to, again, the understanding, we need to believe, have a clear knowledge, I should say, of the truth and believe it most firmly, but also with the will, hold it fast and resolve to cleave to the Word of God, to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, says Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. So when false teachers come up to us and tell us there's no such thing as the Trinity, but we need to know our Bibles, we need to hold fast the truth, and comparing Scripture with Scripture, have the form of sound words most firmly within our minds and our hearts, that we would not be swayed by false teaching that we come across in the world. And then the third portal or point at which we embrace the truth is the affections. The affections to receive the truth and to love the truth, to delight in the Word of God. As Paul says, rejoicing not in iniquity, but rejoicing in the truth. We read about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. His coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And why are they perishing? Did they not know the truth? Well, they did at first, but they perished because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, again, if there's a cold assent and we just believe the truth and but our hearts are not attached, well, we're that much more quickly in danger of losing the truth, letting these things slip away from us. Is there a heart attachment to the truth? Do you love the truth? Do you love the Word of God? Do you love the doctrines of the Word of God, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of creation, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of the fall of man and the redemption of man and the covenant of grace and justification and adoption and sanctification? These are truths to live by. And how can we live a happy life without knowing these doctrines of His Word? Well, those are the portals at which we receive the truth, having the loins girt about with truth. You could almost think of it as belt loops through which the belt passes in order to tighten around the waist, and the truth is embraced, the understanding, the will, and the affections. pray that God would open your eyes to see these things that are revealed and to embrace them with your heart. In the sixth place, think about the benefits of the girdle of truth. Strength. We've mentioned that already. I was looking at a girdle or a belt that the Roman soldiers wore, about 6 inches wide. It looked very strong, a leather girdle. And the girdle would no doubt provide strength. Some people today wear back braces. Whether they are really good for you or not, that may be debatable in some circles, but they wear them to prevent injuries, they wear them to give a little strength in heavy work operations, perhaps to keep the muscles tight and the spine straight. Well, the girdle of truth gives strength. Knowing the truth gives strength. And again, it's that firmness, that foundation, so that we may move forward and keep to the straight and narrow way. If we are weak in the truth and do not firmly hold to it, we are in danger of slipping away into sin. But holding fast the truth and holding fast what we know from the Word of God about God Himself, we are strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God is omnipotent, and He has revealed His attributes of strength and unchangeableness for the assurance of God's people to help them. God is holy, and therefore, as well as just, and therefore He will not punish twice. If we are trusting in Christ and believing in Him, our sins are taken away. They were punished in Christ. And therefore, He will not punish us, because that would be to punish twice, and God would not do that because He is just. Oh, how the truth gives us strength, and it gives us liberty. And then there's also what I just said, freedom, knowing the truth. The people in ancient times in the East would wear long flowing garments. But when it was time for active work, they would buckle up, they would put on the girdle, they would gird up the loins, and enable them to work quickly and efficiently. And so to be tightening the girdle of truth around us is to give us freedom. It gives us liberty. Why? Because if we don't know the truth, Satan has an advantage over us. He keeps sinners bound by ignorance, enslaved by false religion. And so, for God's people, with lack of clarity in the truth, without sound teaching, they are weak. They cannot combat the evil one. They become dark in their experience. They lose their comforts and consolations. Oh, the truth. Being girt about with truth, we have freedom. Freedom to move swiftly. And because the girdle of truth gives us strength and freedom, it also gives us confidence, knowing from the Word of God that we have victory. We have a hope that maketh not ashamed. And we are told in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, but the people that do know their God, we know Him because He has revealed Himself. It is His truth that we embrace. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Yes, it's knowing the truth. The Lord Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What if a man was lacking greatly in knowledge? He was just converted, and he thought sin was gone forever. And he didn't know about the power of indwelling sin. So after a few days in his Christian experience, he thought sin was gone, but now he sees the inner workings of corruption. And he says, oh, I must have been wrong. I must not be any one of the Lord's people after all. I see sin in me now. What happened? I made a big mistake. No. The truth makes you free. The truth gives you strength. The Bible tells us that sin still dwells in the hearts of believers. And that is the very point. They're to be fighting it and crying to God for deliverance. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So assured from the word of God that no, a mistake has not been made. There's been a saving change, and there is love for the Savior in the heart. That's the result of the new birth. But sin is still there. Yes, we know that. The word of God tells us that. It's only at death they are made perfect in holiness. Therefore, be assured that you are a child of God and go forward in the fight, putting on this girdle of truth, the belt around your waist, to go forward with strength because you know the truth, which gives you strength and makes you free and gives you assurance to go on persevering. And in the seventh place, there's the blessedness of the girdle of truth. We know so many things from the Word of God that we have embraced and has become part of our experience. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There's no need to be envious of the wicked because they are passing away. If they do not repent, they will perish. Why be jealous of those who are going to perish eternally? They may have so much pleasure in this life. Verily, there is a reward for the righteous. God is angry with the wicked every day. Why would you be envious of those whom God is angry with? But assured from the love of God, from the word of God, that you are loved. And it's all in Christ, fleeing to Jesus, who is truth himself, who said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Friends, we are not saved by any works of righteousness which we have done. What if we were mistaken in that, and we thought we had to work for salvation? But the truth tells us, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, the word which is brought to you so near so as to trust and obey, looking unto Jesus himself, makes us free, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. He is the faithful and true witness, and righteousness and faithfulness was his girdle, and he provides for us that we might be girt about the loins with truth, that we might stand in the evil day. Go to Jesus. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, through him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. May he bless his word. Let us pray.